Next case is cause number 711229, Swedish Health Services Appellant versus Department of Health.
I have many jealous colleagues that I get to argue back-to-back appeals.
And on this matter, how much do you wish to reserve?
3 minutes, Your Honor.
All right, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Brian Grimm for Swedish Health Services. This court has the ultimate responsibility for interpreting a regulation, and under the principles of regulatory interpretation, should do so in a way which harmonizes all related regulations. The court should not interpret a regulation in a way which renders regulatory language superfluous or creates conflict and inconsistency among regulations. Section 720, subpart 2 of the Certificate of Need Rules, WAC 246-310-720, identifies two requirements that must be met for a new PCI program to be approved. Subpart A requires that the state need forecasting methodology projects unmet volumes sufficient to establish one or more programs within a planning area. Subpart B requires that all existing PCI programs in that planning area are meeting or exceeding the minimum volume standard. The language of each of these subparts must be read in the context of the other. And I would begin with Section 745, which sets out the need forecasting methodology specifically referred to in Subpart A of Section 720.
It's a statute ambiguous?
I would say no. I believe 720 can be interpreted based on its plain language when the second subpart says all have to be meeting the minimum volume standard.
What does all mean? Is that ambiguous?
No, I don't think all is ambiguous. I think that's referring to all of the programs in the planning area.
Let me confirm with you the numbers. You haven't challenged any of the findings, but I think all the parties agree that the PCI numbers that the law judge relied on are erroneous, but it doesn't matter.
There's no dispute that Overlake is above 300 and the other programs in the planning area below 300. And the question, of course, is whether that creates a bar to any new programs being approved in the planning area. And I think that question is answered by Section 745 of the regulation, because the need calculation specifically provides to the department, how do you evaluate need for a new program if there is an existing program in the planning area below 300 PCIs? And what it does is it says, assume in the future it will be at 300 PCIs.
Are the two then, 720 and 745, they're linked in a sense, but they serve different purposes, don't they?
No. The only purpose of either regulation is to determine whether a new PCI program should be approved. That is the only purpose.
Well, it depends on how you define purpose.
Okay.
So let's look at 745. Isn't purpose specifically defined in the WAC? It says, for the purposes of the need forecasting method, and I'm reading from 745, no, you haven't memorized, I don't. In this section, the following terms, and the one that you rely most upon is subsection 2, current capacity. The following terms have the following specific meaning. So reading that, the need forecasting methodology and the current capacity definition relates to and is for the purpose of the need forecasting method. I don't think the other side is saying that that somehow isn't part of the equation here. But the need forecasting methodology serves a much different purpose than establishing the minimum requirements for PCI over the next 3 years.
I think two points in response to that, Judge Yu. The first is, why is there a need forecasting methodology? And that's because of 720. 720 subpart A says to have a new program approved, you have to show need under the need forecasting methodology. 745 simply provides the methodology to go through to satisfy 720 subpart A.
So I think, counsel, that's Judge Loud.
So. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm thinking of another case. I deeply apologize. And so that is the first link. And if the other part is that in Section 745, that language would be entirely superfluous if the court were to interpret Section 720 as the department and the interveners argue to mean that a new program never can be approved if an existing program has been in operation less than 3 years and is performing less than 300 PCIs.
We're going on 4 years now for those other hospitals. And the statistics that were provided are dated, but I know it's frozen in time based on when the application, I think it was filed in February 2011. So the purpose, as I understand, for 720, I think the parties don't disagree, but the purpose also for 720 is patient safety. Do you agree or not?
I would agree that the reason the department has set a 300 PCI volume standard has to do with the department's determination that a certain amount of volume is necessary for a quality program.
What are the components for a quality program? Would you agree that patient safety, that's what Yakima says.
Yes, patient safety would be an important part of a quality program.
Now, how is safety promoted by what Swedish is arguing, that patient safety and all the goals that this entire scheme is intended to address, and that is by allowing hospitals anywhere to establish these programs. I mean, that's sort of what Swedish is saying.
What the factual record shows in this case is that historically, prior to 2007, when new programs could be approved, there were two main providers for PCIs for East King residents, Overlake and Swedish. They both operate quality open-heart surgery programs, broad cardiac programs, and PCIs are a component of that. What the department has done is it has approved every other hospital in the East King planning area, Valley, Evergreen, St. Francis, Auburn Regional, to operate these programs as well, and denied the second largest historical provider of cardiac services to East King residents, Swedish, which nobody in this case argues would not provide an extremely high-quality program in Issaquah.
Well, that's not really the question before us here. I'm sure Swedish is a great facility, and that's not the question, though. I think what Swedish is attempting to do is to link 720 and 745 in a way that minimizes or undermines the purpose standing alone of 720. The purpose is very different than forecasting future need, because future, you have to satisfy these PCIs for one purpose, but you also at the same time are saying, okay, if these facilities meet the PCIs, we need to forecast looking forward by also considering that they're going to hit this target, they're going to be successful in operating, but they have to also forecast that future capacity, don't they? Isn't that what that methodology is about?
Yeah, and the methodology would only approve Swedish if, after assuming that all of these programs hit 300.
Shall we go into your time?
Yes, I would okay. Like to answer the question, if I may.
You may.
That only after assuming that all of these programs hit 300, and there's an additional 300 PCIs needed in the planning area, would there be a finding of need for Swedish, and Swedish could be approved? And therefore, I think the regulations do work in tandem, and that they protect the issue raised by the court, which is to protect this quality issue, because it protects these existing programs. It says we will not approve Swedish unless there's need for an additional 300, even after allocating 300 for each of these programs out of the future capacity before making that need determination. So I do think the regulations have to be read together and interpreted so that one doesn't render the other inconsistent or superfluous. Thank you. And I, Judge Law, I deeply apologize again
That's
for my
right.
misstatement earlier.
That was all the time.
Too many facts running around in my head right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes for rebuttal. I'll hear from the respondents. Do the respondents wish to divide their time?
Thank you, Your Honor. Richard McCartan again for the Department of Health. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for the interveners. I've given the court a copy of the very simple regulations that apply to this case, and Swedish essentially argues that these should not be given any effect. Subsection 1 at 720 established a 300 minimum standard for PCI that the court noted that is a public safety standard. That same standard is articulated in 715 sub 2. You have to do, that's the minimum standard for PCI program, and it's given 3 years to reach that. And that's in recognition of the fact that a new program doesn't instantly have a large volume. It takes time to achieve a volume. And so they're given 3 years to achieve that volume and have to maintain it each year thereafter.
The department has taken a common sense approach in one sense, and that is to say that 720 and the methodology for computing or for calculating what the future needs are assumes that these facilities will be hitting their target. They're 300 every year for the next 3 years and thereafter. So is there any significance to the language that introduces the need forecasting methodology that I read to council? In other words, council says you have to read them together, and by reading them together, particularly the capacity definition, you come out with a different reading, one that supports Swedish's position.
Well, Your Honor, what they want to do is read the methodology to basically cancel out the regulation in 720, that you don't approve new programs unless all providers are at 300. The methodology in 745-2B does impute a 300 volume to programs that have not achieved 300.
What's the purpose for imputation? I think that's the whole thing.
Well, 2 points, Your Honor. Number one, when you make that imputation, of course, a new program cannot be approved. However, it does provide some future guidance to a facility on when in the future a new program may not be established. And I think a rule of statutory construction here is very important, and that is the more specific regulation governs. And the rules are very clear that you can't approve a new program if facilities are below 300. That's the whole point of 720.
Do you even get to the future calculation of the methodology if you haven't hit your target?
No, you don't. You do the methodology. You impute a 300, and that provides some guidance for the future on when a need might develop. However, that imputation does not render this rule a nullity. And that's basically what Swedish is arguing here. And this is a very important public safety rule. It's discussed in detail by the Ninth Circuit in the Yakima Valley case, which upheld the validity and the importance of a 300 standard. And this rule very specifically makes that requirement that should be enforced by this court. And we would ask the court, giving substantial deference to the agency's interpretation, that they uphold the ruling of both the health law judge and the Superior Court that this program cannot be approved given the three programs below the 300 level.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Do the interveners wish to divide time?
No time at this time.
So 5 minutes.
Yes.
All right, you may proceed.
Your Honors, Aaron Renchie for Overlake Hospital. The Judge Lau asked what the purpose of the 745 imputation of capacity is, and obviously we disagree with the Swedish's assertion that 745 is only there to fulfill 722A. The department is the agency tasked with health care planning in this state, and it is under a statutory mandate to develop and maintain projections of need, and that is in RCW 70.38.0153. And as part of carrying that out, the department runs the methodology for the entire state roughly once a year. And there's an example of that in the record, in the administrative record, at pages AR 51 to 58. So the purpose of 745 is much broader than just complying with 720. And the fact that the methodology is designed to be applicable in all planning areas and under all circumstances does not make it inconsistent with the threshold requirement in 720 for approval of an individual application. A couple other points that I wanted to address. The standard of review, Swedish asserts that there is...
So can I just encapsulate what you said? It's a planning tool.
It's a plan. Couldn't have said it better myself. The standard of review, Swedish asserted in its reply brief that the court should give no deference to the department's interpretation. That's the standard of review in these cases is very well set out in Overlake v. Department of Health, which is a case that Swedish has repeatedly cited.
In fact, this court was reversed for not giving enough deference.
The first paragraph of the opinion says that Swedish and the department's principal argument is that the Court of Appeals did not give enough deference. In addition, Overlake also says that the department's decision is presumed correct.
But the Supreme Court also found an ambiguity where we found none.
Yeah, that's correct. And here, obviously, we're dealing with a different regulation. Here, there is no ambiguity in this regulation. And if there is an ambiguity, then there is great deference given to the department's interpretation of its own rule. We would argue there is no ambiguity in this case. The minimum volume standard is 300. There's no other volume standard identified anywhere in the record, in the regulation. And everyone agrees that the minimum volume standard is 300. The department, the HLJ, the Superior Court all interpreted it that way. And in fact, Swedish, in its application, identified the minimum volume standard as 300, and I would refer to the court to the administrative record at AR 359, where Swedish's application twice says the minimum volume standard is 300.
Is there any significance to the introductory phrase that I read earlier for 745? It seems to restrict the capacity definition as a planning tool as opposed to somehow altering, amending, conditioning the 300 requirement.
I guess I'm not.
Well, it says the argument's been put forward by the department. I can't remember if the interveners did this, but they said, you know, 745 and 720 serve very different purposes, although they're conjoined with respect to this whole process. But their individual purposes are very distinct. Councils for Swedish seems to indicate that, well, no, they're not quite that distinct. They're somehow interrelated to the point that well, you know the argument, mm-hmm. that somehow that 300 PCI 720 doesn't really say what it seems to say.
Right. Well, I mean,
you understand my question. I'm sorry, it's a little convoluted.
I mean, I think, I guess the only reason I'm confused is I thought that we discussed this earlier when you encapsulated and said that 745 was a planning tool.
Well, and I want to hear what you have to say. Right. Those were my words, and I know you agree.
Right, I agree. I think that 745 is designed as a way to carry out the department's statutory duty to project need and to generally manage health care planning in the state.
Council response right then.
Okay. Thank you.
You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Three very brief points. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, if the court interprets the regulation the way the department and the interveners argue, it would create a moratorium on new PCI programs. If once a new program is approved, there is a moratorium until that program achieves 300 PCIs per year. And I don't believe the court can interpret the regulation that way for several reasons, including the following two. One is that it would render the language in 745 directing the department how to evaluate need for a program in those circumstances entirely superfluous. And the court should not interpret 720 in a way which makes language in 745 entirely superfluous. The other reason is the overlay case, which was just discussed. In that case, the Supreme Court found that the principal purpose of the CON statute, the legislative intent for the enabling legislation, is to promote access to health care. As I mentioned earlier, if this court were to reverse and Swedish's application were approved on remand, it would be based on a finding that there is a need for another program in East King, even after assuming all the existing programs achieve 300 PCIs per year. It would be based on a finding of need. And if the court were to interpret the regulation as the department argues, it would mean that even though there is a need for Swedish's program under the department standards, the department cannot approve it.
Are you saying that if there's somebody that's operating a program and they just never reach 300, they get stuck for some reason at 100 or 200 or 250, nobody can do anything about it, they're just sitting there taking up, blocking anybody else from meeting that?
Clearly, after 3 years, that would be the case, right? After 3 years, they would be subject to the 300 requirement, and nobody could be approved forever unless that program were shut down.
Can't they be closed down?
The department presumably could take some actions against such a program. To my knowledge, it has never taken any such actions to date.
But wouldn't that be an obvious thing for Swedish to raise, to say, look, these people are sitting there, they're just taking up space. They're blocking people who could actually meet this need, and they aren't meeting it, and they were given, what is it, 2 or 3 years to do it, and they haven't, so let's get rid of them.
But it's not true in this case, because the three new programs in this planning area wouldn't meet that definition. They were new programs who aren't yet required to meet the 300 PCI standard.
Right. So the regulation seems to anticipate that it's going to take a little time, okay? But you don't want any time to be taken. You want things to happen immediately.
It recognizes that it will take a little time for them to get to 300, and then it says, well, and what do you do with new applications in the meantime? And 745 says, well, you can still approve new applications if there's enough need to meet the 300 for all these programs and the additional program. So it addresses that precise circumstance.
Counselor, you're out of time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That concludes this matter, and it also concludes this morning's calendar. The court will be in recess.